money.
Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
Hey, what's up, Wizards fans? Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast, brought to you by Draft. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOWIZARDS. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOWIZARDS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Wizards listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LOWIZARDS. Well, Wizards fans, it's another episode of the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm your host tonight, Dustin Allwood from Wizards Extra, joined by Arthur Renault. Arthur, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Looking forward to an exciting weekend of All-Star festivities.
Yep, getting right up to it. Pretty much wrapped up with the first half. We've got one game left against the Knicks tomorrow night. Maybe a slightly shorthanded team, as the Wizards seem to be dropping like flies with head injuries and flu bugs. So Arthur, one of the first topics I want to talk about, you know, there's rumors abound about the Wizards looking at point guard or shooting guard help, anywhere from Derrick Rose, Ty Lawson. What are your thoughts? Are they going to make a move, here before the All-Star break or possibly shortly after?
Yeah, so I this morning I listened to Scott Brooks on 106.7 The Fan, and he was asked the same question, and he addressed the fact that a lot of what they're going to do with the point guard position is going to be based on Satoransky's available tomorrow night against the Knicks, which at this point we haven't heard anything to make us believe that Sato would be missing the game tomorrow night. So it looks like, according to Brooks, they were going to wait after the All-Star break to address the backup point guard position through the buyout market, or as the European players are starting to come back from their Euro leagues, which at this point, it makes it look like Ty Lawson is someone that they're seriously considering signing. And although I don't really necessarily understand why we're getting a backup point guard, I can appreciate that they're taking their time and not necessarily rushing and going towards a named player like Derrick Rose at the moment.
Yeah, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started the podcast, but it feels pretty much like a guarantee like Sato's going to be all right, because if they needed to sign somebody on a 10-day, they probably wouldn't be waiting until Wednesday to do it. You know, they would have been already engaging in talks, getting somebody in for, you know, the last practice before this final game, before the break. So seems like Satoransky is going to be good to go. They'll supplement, you know, without Wall, obviously, and without Frazier. The other point guard responsibilities probably with a mixture of Beal and Porter. And you said that was the other thing that Brooks touched on today, right, was Porter running the point in practice and seeming to fit all right with that, right?
Yeah, he also mentioned that so many players were out. Jason Smith looks like he's coming down with the flu. Morris, as we know, was battling the flu and his hand injury. Mahimi obviously came down with it. They were resting Beal. Frazier has the nose surgery. Satoransky has the concussion protocol. And that basically leaves like six or seven players. And Brooks mentioned that he had some of his assistant coaches even jump in during some of the practice to kind of help get a five-on-five going. But he really was blown away by how well Porter was doing handling the point guard position, to the point that when I tweeted it this morning, that exact quote that Porter had impressed, a lot of Georgetown fans came in the mentions and were saying, finally, like, I've been clamoring for this. You know, Porter did a lot of ball handling in Georgetown, had a lot of responsibility with the creation of the offense in Georgetown. So a lot of people are really looking forward to see if Porter will actually get some point guard run tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I do recall, you know, watching him in at Georgetown. He really did run that team, and he did a great job with it. You know, he was a all-everything guy at Georgetown.
Yeah.
I do wonder how it will translate to the NBA, because we've seen, you know, some of his limitations crop up here and there when he tries to do a little bit too much. So, I don't know. It's not something that, you know, at this point, you know, you've got one game before the break, a pretty meaningless game. I mean, with the injuries, I think it's definitely a chance to try some new things, especially against a team like the Knicks. You know, no offense to them, but, you know, they're a struggling, banged-up team as well. So right. If there was ever a chance to experiment, now is the time. So it'll be interesting to see. So just a, you know, quick thing I wanted to touch on. You know, we're coming up to the All-Star break, so it's a good time to kind of look back at how things have gone before the break, and how do you feel about the Wizards? I mean, obviously it's been kind of a tale of two seasons, at least, when you look at how they were playing when John Wall was playing hurt, and then how they've been playing since John's actually been out. But overall, what are your thoughts on the Wizards' first half?
Yeah, so before the season started, I had mentioned that I guess my goals for the team were that the Wizards would win 50 games or more. Wall and Beal would be All-Stars, which I nailed, apparently. And the last one would be that they would be in the Eastern Conference Finals, regardless of who they have to get through in the first round. Which at this point, as things are tonight, they would be playing Milwaukee, I believe. Yeah, Milwaukee's the fifth seed, Wizards are the fourth seed. So, I mean, all things considered, I would say it's, you know, it could be worse, but at the same time, it could be a lot better. You know, so many of the stats that are showing, like, if the Wizards would have taken care of business against under 500 teams, we could maybe have, like, 6, 7, 8 more wins and be the one seed or battling for the one seed, you know, but that beginning of the year was really ugly. I know it feels, I'm talking about it like it was like years ago, but it was a few months ago. But it's all hopefully going to be credited to, you know, Wall's knee injury and just, you know, being too comfortable. Like this team for a lot of, you know, this time since they first made the playoffs, it's felt like an entitled team.
Yeah.
So it was almost like they felt like they earned the right to coast through the season, which they didn't, because we haven't accomplished anything. Like a game seven in the second round is nothing to beat your chest and come into next year and saying, oh, we got it. Like just see us in the playoffs. And then, you know, obviously being humbled by LeBron the day that they're interviewed about, oh, yeah, Cleveland was ducking us last year. Like, yep. They didn't want to see us. And then LeBron drops 55 on us and in D.C. So I think it's been a very humbling season, and hopefully the team realizes that along with the development of their young talent in Kelly Oubre and Tomas Satoransky, that they need to earn these victories when they count during the regular season.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you bring it up in that fashion, because Noah and I talked about the exact same thing on a recent podcast. You know, he was asking me, you know, last year, it was just last year we had this crazy 17-game home winning streak. And, you know, now we're dropping games at home to sub-500 teams that have no business coming into Capital One Arena and winning games. And what's the difference? And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. The difference is 100% the mentality of this team. And, you know, I think you're exactly right. They do seem entitled. And, you know, when you go back to last year, what was different? Why weren't they so entitled last year? I think towards the end of the season last year is when that entitlement started building. And, you know, going into last year, though, you got to remember they were coming off a season where they missed the playoffs, new coaching staff, and then they started off the season horribly. So they had something to prove going into that December where they were way behind in the standings. Everything was falling apart. People were talking about trading John Wall, firing Scott Brooks already. You know, everything was horrible. So they had something to prove. And I think it's kind of what you've seen since John Wall's been out is the rest of the team kind of rallied around that as now we know we can't just show up and beat anybody because we don't have our best player. If we're going to win games, we're going to have that high level of effort and intensity every night. And they had something to prove that, hey, we can win games without John. And my hope is in the second half and you know, as we get into late March, early April when John comes back, that mentality carries over and that John comes back and embraces that same mentality of we've got to bring it every night because they do. And every team in the NBA does. This is still a league of high-level basketball players all across every team. You know, any team in the league can get hot for a night and just blow another team out. We've seen it, you know, even happen to the Warriors. So, you know, if the Warriors can't sleepwalk through games, the Wizards can't sleepwalk through games. So I think you're exactly right. Hopefully that mentality has changed and we see a different team in the second half. But, you know, like you mentioned as well, it's not that bad. You know, as bad as it seemed for a while there, you know, they're still sitting in the fourth seed, right behind Cleveland. And, you know, honestly, Toronto and Boston aren't that far ahead. You know, the Wizards right. made up more ground than this last year. In just a few short weeks, because that's kind of the nature of the NBA. If you get really, really hot, you know, go on a 10-game winning streak like the Jazz are on right now, you can really shrink those gaps in the standings pretty quick.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Yeah, we're fourth in the standings. We've made up ground. But at the same time, you know, I know we're going to address this a little later. The schedule that's upcoming, it's pretty rough. And to play devil's advocate on, you know, the Wizards, you know, winning some games here post-Wall injury. Some of those wins should come with an asterisk, like the Indiana Pacers win playing against a Victor Oladipo-less team. You know, we didn't get their full roster. I mean, obviously we don't have Wall, but, you know, winning those games when we're not playing against a team that has all their guns. The Orlando win, you know, they set out like three of their best players.
But they were losing those kind of games earlier in the season, though. Even with teams sitting out their players. So I think it's clear to see that the level of effort has gone up a notch. And, yes, you know, definitely. That's definitely anybody who thinks that's tied to John Wall himself being out is just insane. But I think it's just a factor of it, you know, like these guys. They're prideful players too, and they want to prove that we can win, and this team doesn't just get flushed down the toilet just because John Wall's not here. And they know we have to. John Wall is a, you know, 20-point, 10-assist a night guy. So those points, those assists have to come from somewhere. So everybody steps their game up, and you know it kind of shows you the potential that this team has if you just are able to plug in a fully healthy John Wall. Which is, you know, one of my biggest disappointments of the year is Wall getting hurt again because, man, this was supposed to be, you know, that one of those first seasons he's really had in his career where he didn't have anything he was dealing with over the summer and didn't have any rehab going into the season. And, you know, here we are. So
yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about the All-Star game. So stay tuned to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm Dustin Allwood from Wizards Extra, here with Arthur Renault. So, Arthur, we've got the All-Star weekend coming up this weekend. John Wall was also a selection for the All-Star game, but obviously will be sitting out with his knee injury. And Bradley Beal, in his first All-Star game, his second three-point shootout, though. What are you looking to see from Bradley this weekend?
Well, hopefully to play more than 8 minutes or 10 minutes. That would be really good in the All-Star game. I don't know if it's because he's not starting, but I feel like when Wall made it the first time, or his first time starting, like, that was a really hyped weekend. Like,
yeah.
New York, he's starting, like, all the promos, like, his jerseys were being sold everywhere. So it was really cool. I haven't been to Capital One since Beal was announced as an All-Star, but are his jerseys being sold at the store?
I don't know if they are in the team store. I was actually checking out online to see if they were around, and you can't buy them online, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I don't really like the designs this year. Apart
oh, really?
From,
I actually kind of dig them. I like the jerseys a lot this year, the black and white and the team logo. I love the team logo, your own team logo still being on it.
I guess I'm just, maybe because it's not East versus West, but I guess I really like those jerseys, kind yeah. of, like the old, like, Jordan, Magic Johnson era jerseys. But anyways, that's getting into fashion. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this three-point contest because, I mean, it's all the sharpshooters are in there. Like, we have Kyle Lowry, we have Klay Thompson, Paul George, and Bradley Beal. I think the most Wizards thing to happen is that Beal wins the three-point shootout after shooting, like, a career-low three-point percentage and, like, missing wide-open threes during games. Like, wouldn't that be the most so Wizards thing? Like,
yes.
He breaks a record and, like, has a perfect score or something ridiculous. Like, I can't imagine, like, anything, like, so predictable, but at the same time, like, you know, still annoying that's going to happen.
Yep. And, you know, the first time he was in the three-point shooting contest, he wasn't actually an All-Star, but he was in the three-point shooting contest the same year that Wall won the dunk contest.
Yeah.
And that was a fun event because, if you remember, it was down to Beal and Bellinelli, and Beal was having a kind of a slump round in the last round and then made, like, eight in a row or something to tie yeah. Bellinelli and send it into a shootout, and then he lost and finished second. But that was a fun weekend, too, with Wall winning the dunk contest and Beal high-fiving Nelly after
that
run in the three-point contest.
That feels like 10 years ago, but that
feels
felt
like forever ago.
This is the stardom for our backcourt is being born this weekend. Like,
yeah.
they took over that weekend.
Yep.
But...
And it's, you know, it's such a bummer that Wall is out because, you know, it would have been awesome to see both of them in the game. Obviously, they were on the same team, but one thing I was hoping for when the teams were selected was that they would end up on opposite teams and maybe we would get to see some Beal, Wall, ISO, one-on-one action, which is the awesome aspect of the new format, you know, not going East versus West and having the captains draft the teams is you can get teammates going head to head. And you know, if that had happened, if Wall and Beal had ended up on opposite teams at some point during the game, one of them was going to get the ball and ISO against the other and just go at each other. So, you know, obviously that wasn't necessarily on the table this year because A, Wall's not playing and B, they were on the same team, but you know, hopefully sometime in the future we get to see that because that would just be, that would be crazy fun as a Wizards fan to see in an All-Star game.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely would, and that should be an element that's incorporated to the All-Star game. So obviously, like, they kind of started this year with captains, but it shouldn't be allowed, you shouldn't be allowed to have teammates on the same team, because then you can have those, like, dream matchups. Like, have, you know, if you're a Raptors fan, have DeRozan and Lowry go at each other. If you're a, you know, Celtics fan, have Kyrie and Al Horford go at each other. LeBron going at Kevin Love. Like, all these things would make the All-Star game a show. And it can be in the first three quarters where nobody's playing defense, nobody's trying. It's just one-on-one, like, LeBron, Kobe, but, you know, every team gets, like, a second to shine. And that would let every player, you know, like, for those that only play, like, 10 minutes. Like, if those 10 minutes were you went head-to-head against, you know, your teammate, like, it's probably worth it for, like, everyone and for views and for everything.
And it probably helps the competition level, because like you mentioned, a lot of times in these All-Star games, it's just no defense necessary, right? But, you know, if Wall's checking Bradley Beal in this All-Star game, he's not going to let him score just, you know, just, you know, nonchalant, just stand there and let him go by you. He's going to be locked in and bringing it. And same way on the other end, you know, so I think maybe it would help, you know, raise that competition level where you're actually seeing some engaged defense and some actual back and forth. So
right, because I mean, if Beal gets Wall ISO and he hits him with that step back, like I've never seen Wall get dropped or get crossed over, but I think that would be the first time, because that, you know, that'd be risky to have happen.
Yep. So we don't get that fun this year, but you know, maybe All-Star games to come, because you know it seems like these two are going to be All-Star stables for a while. You know, assuming they stay healthy and stay with the Wizards, right? So let's take another break, and we'll be back with our What If Wednesday segment. Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. This is Dustin Allwood from Wizards Extra with Arthur Renault. Arthur, last topic of the night. You know, we like to do What If Wednesdays on these podcasts that come out on Wednesdays. So what do you got for us, What If Wednesday this week?
Yeah, so, you know, morning commute, sitting in rush hour, you know, you start getting in your feelings a little bit, you know, realizing how much life sucks sometimes. Just randomly thought this morning, man, with the way that the East has shaped out this year, with, you know, the Celtics signing Gordon Hayward and having drafted Jason Tatum as, like, a first-round pick, like a high lotto pick, and Terry Rozier and everything that they have going on there, and then, you know, Gordon Hayward gets injured. With LeBron and the Cavaliers, like, Kyrie gets traded, half their team gets traded midway through the year, there's dysfunction, you know, Toronto, which the Wizards have no issue, like, beating and handling. What would have happened? What if Al Horford would have chosen the Wizards and not the Celtics? Like, it hurts to think about it. A part of me is, like, Porter, Kelly Oubre, you know, Gortat wouldn't have developed as they would have, because, you know, things would have been shifted around. Also, I don't know why I said Gortat. I meant to say Sato. The three of them wouldn't have developed, have, you know, as they had, because, you know, things would have shifted, lineups would have been different. But Wall, Beal, the backcourt, you know, I mean, even going with something like Kelly Oubre, your starting small forward, Porter as your four, and then Horford as your five, as your, you know,
lineup of, you know, death.
That's winning time, lineup of death. Like, that is ridiculous. Like, with Porter being the efficient three-point shooter that he is, Kelly Oubre developing, you know, a really solid three-point shot, obviously Beal being, you know, a sharp shooter, Horford having the ability to, like, hit a three-pointer, and Wall, like, orchestrating everything, like, no doubt the Wizards would be running the East this year and would be considered heavy favorites to win, you know, the East. I'm not saying the NBA Finals, but that's a better matchup against the Warriors. Like, our five, that five I just mentioned, against Klay, Steph, Iggy, KD, and Draymond. Like, that's a good fight. And it just hurts because that ship has sailed.
You mean you're not satisfied with Jan Mahinmi and Jason Smith as Plan C?
Man,
you know, and the other thing about that too is, in my mind, when I think about if that had happened, you know, I probably would actually still have started Gortat and played Horford at the four. Obviously, I would definitely try and sneak in some moments of the death lineup we just mentioned. But
yeah,
you know, that allows you, if you started Horford at the four, you're able to move Keefe to the bench. And he can just be a, you know, chucker on the bench and just get buckets, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot of teams that have a backup four or five that can stop Markieff Morris when he wants to score. So, you know, it adds that scoring punch to the bench just by having Gortat because, or just by having Horford, because it like you said, it bumps everybody down a peg. Where now you've got Oubre and Keefe coming off the bench, a developing Satoransky. You know, it really would have been fun to see, obviously, as a Wizards fan. And, you know, it's kind of sad that we're sitting here, you know, fantasizing about the Celtics starting center who killed us in the playoffs last year instead. But, yeah, I mean, you just got to bring us down on What If Wednesday, huh?
Yeah, you know, like I said, sitting in traffic, rush hour, sitting at all these lights, it was cloudy and rainy today. Yeah, no, it would have been definitely interesting to see, like, what the rest of the roster would have looked like. Because then D.C. would have become a destination. Like, who wouldn't want to play with that lineup? Like, you know, maybe Lou Williams signs here, maybe Joe Johnson signs here, as, like, unlike, you know, this year where the rich got richer. Like, Joe Johnson goes to Houston as if they needed any more ammunition on offense. And
you have some assets to move around, too.
Right.
Like, now you've got these deadweight contracts that are not going anywhere, right? And maybe Gortat's contract is a little more valuable because maybe he, you know, was able to play a little bit less, maybe able to play a little bit, you know, healthier, a little bit, you know, fit in better with somebody like Horford playing next to him. So you never know how those things shake out. And you know, we never know what would have happened. You know, there could have been, you know, Al Horford blows out his knee and, you know, never played a minute for the Wizards, you know, because that's just life for us. But, you know, one thing we talked about when that whole summer was going down was obviously when the season ended, you know, the previous season ended, Whitman was fired, they brought in Scott Brooks, and we were all kind of waiting to see was Ernie Grunfeld going to stick around? Because I think every Wizards fan, at least the ones that I've talked to, is just counting the days until Ernie Grunfeld is no longer the GM here. And I wonder, you know, if that ended up playing a big factor. Because, you know, when you looked at the rosters side by side of Boston then and the Wizards then, I think it would be a very hard argument to make that the Celtics were a better team as far as the pieces that were already there. But one of the things Horford said was, you know, he was sold on the culture, which, you know, Boston is always going to beat DC in that aspect of it, as far as basketball supporting the team and you know, the fan base around there. The Wizards are never going to catch Boston in that, but you know, I think a big part of it was probably the vision that was laid out. And I just can't help but shake the thought of, you know, the pitch that he received from Ernie Grunfeld versus the pitch that he received from Danny Ainge, you know? So I wonder, and it's something I think about, you know, if they had made a move and got a new GM in here, maybe somebody young, with you know, an eye towards analytics, somebody who could have painted the big picture for the Wizards, if maybe that would have tilted the scale in favor of the Wizards.
Right. Yeah. No, it would have changed everything. That, yeah, it's very depressing to think about, especially, I mean, you know, right now with Satoransky developing and, Kelly Oubre and, you know, soon to be, it looks like Chris McCullough is going to get some runs. So maybe, you know, that can add another piece, but you know, along with Wall, Beal, Porter, Satoransky and Kelly Oubre, it makes it look like Ernie has done a good job because now we have five players that are under the age of 27 developing and we can build around them. So it's just the luck of the draw and, you know, giving a lifetime contract. Eventually you'll hit something, I guess.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, you know, you may have some young pieces, but you don't have a whole lot of cap space to build around because you've got so much money tied up in the center position where you really don't have a, you know,
a modern center,
right? A center that fits into the modern NBA.
Right.
So, yeah, well, you know, hopefully there's brighter days than that depressing thought ahead for the Wizards. You know, we talked about it a little bit, you know, We'll see how the Wizards are able to navigate this tough schedule coming up here in the second half. Obviously, anxiously looking forward to seeing John Wall back. But I hope, and I think they will, they'll take the appropriate time and get him back 100% healthy. Because especially with the time frame that he's on right now, cutting it so close to the start of the playoffs, it's not going to do anybody any good for him to come back less than 100%. So right. That's, you know, definitely something we're keeping an eye on. And Arthur, any final thoughts before we break it up?
I just think that my prediction for All-Star Weekend, and I honestly feel like that's going to happen. I feel like somehow, some way, Beal's going to win the 3-point shootout, and it's going to piss me off somehow. Instead of like making me very happy, it's going to be like, Beal, like, let's knock some of those down during the game. You know, let's get that percentage back up. But who knows? Maybe it has the opposite effect. Maybe it brings like his 2-point percentage back up. You know, to the way it was trending before the season started.
Yep. So we got, like we said, we have one game left before the break with the Knicks Wednesday night, and then off to the All-Star break and headed into the second half. So thanks for tuning in to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Again, I'm Dustin Allwood. Arthur, thanks for joining. Imagine smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine. If I rule the world, imagine that. I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls. Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine. If I rule the world, still living for today. In these last days, until it'll be paradise, like relaxing.